greatest sword in the kingdom. May our hearts and minds be prepared and ready to listen carefully to you, be receptive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our hearts and minds, Lord, as we would be ready and prepared to make changes when necessary. Humble ourselves and yield to whatever you want to do in our life. Your word is powerful and limitless. Have your way in this. This morning we're going to continue our journey through Psalm 119. You're getting this, I'm sure, over and over, but we want to continue to gain a clearer picture of what it looks like to treasure the Word of God. I know what you're saying now. We're looking at it in different ways. Last week the psalmist revealed his need for God's help. We live in, as we all do, in a fallen world. And facing opposition, and he realized he desperately needed God's help. He was going to be faithful in obedience to God's word, he needed God's help. And so he asked the Lord, remember, he asked him to open his eyes, illuminate the word of God, so he could better understand it, so he could practically apply it to his life and walk in obedience. Because he knew that the wisdom needed from God was found in his word. The psalmist knew that God would counsel him, instruct him throughout his journey on the way to heaven. And so he knew that God was able to renew his mind and give him a right biblical perspective on life and his future in order to bring about peace and hope in his life, joy and purpose, helping him to have the right mindset to pray for those who are close, to pray for his enemies. He knew that he could persevere in all that the world threw at him because his foundation was obedience to God's word. His trust was fully in the Lord, not himself. So today we're going to begin to look at the psalmist and how he's handling these circumstances here of opposition and living in a foreign world. And he, back in verse 22 of the last passage, he was asking for relief from this. And so he continues here with this cry for help. He's in a tough some situation. He's crumbling under the weight of it. And he really needs God's loving care and provision. So the first thing I want us to see here, or learn here, is to humbly ask the Lord to provide your soul. Humbly ask the Lord to provide your soul. Let's look at verses 25 and 27. Psalm 119, 25 and 27. If you don't have a Bible there, there should be one there in front of you somewhere. You can fill it up. There it is. Psalm 119, 25 and 27. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. And so here we see the psalmist is very discouraged. He's really down. He might even be facing a life death situation here. And so he feels like he's maybe at the end of his rope. Things are looking pretty hopeless. He's come maybe to the end of himself. And you see this in his heart of Christ. He says, my soul clings to the dust. I mean, he's pretty down. It means he's almost spent. It means he's got to a low place, probably as low as he can go. The opposition he's facing is driven into this great despair. And based on what we see in the context of this passage, the issue that he has is with the people who are against him. It seems they're trying to maybe lead him down a wrong path, or put him to shame, or even destroy him. Have you ever felt that you just couldn't go any further? Have you ever been under a burden so great that you felt there was no help, no way out, no way forward, no relief for your pain? Maybe over the last year and a half, maybe? Have you ever felt that way? I'm sure that many of you have been put in a place like that. And I know that because we are children of God who live in a foreign world, as we learned last passage. And on top of that, we live in a world that has been tarnished and broken and has been destroyed by sin and all of its effects. And so we live in this broken world and we see suffering and pain, and we're faced with this. Not only our own sin, but the sin of others and the consequences of that. We're constantly faced with these things, and so the trials of life can sometimes be overwhelming. The opposition we face can lead us to a point of despair like we did here in the Psalms. But yet there is hope for those who trust in the Lord. There's hope. We're not alone in this battle. The psalmist knew this. Take note of how the psalmist was first honest with the Lord, which is how we should be in these situations. Humbling ourselves before God and acknowledging the truthfulness or reality of our situation. So many times we just try to forget about our problems as if they don't exist, or try to cover them up and just magically go away. Or we try to muster up the strength so we can face them alone. We wouldn't want anyone to know that we're struggling. We wouldn't want anyone to know that because that would hurt our pride or our image. See, being honest with the Lord is very important because help is available. Relief can be attained. It's okay to lament when you're down and you're disappointed. Do you know that? It's okay to lament when you're down and disappointed. It's okay to pour out your sorrow when you're hurting and you're in pain. See, the Lord already knows what's going on in your life. Matthew 6:8, he tells us he already knows what you're going to ask for the best. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6 and 7. This is what he says. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he hears you. Acknowledging our weakness, the reality of our situation, and asking for His help reveals our dependence on Him. It reveals our trust in Him, and not in ourselves or anyone else. God wants to lavish on you His loving care. He's more concerned for you and what's going on in your life than anyone else on this planet. He cares deeply for each one of you. He knows exactly what you can handle, and He knows exactly what you cannot handle. He knows what you need to face in order to grow. He knows what you need to go through in order to be prepared for what's coming next in your life. See, God knows the past, the present, and the future. Psalmist knows this about God. He's come to know the Lord's character and the way and His ways, and therefore he asks the Lord, he says, give me life. Please give me life. In other words, he wants the Lord to revive his heart. He wants the Lord to renew his mind. And he wants the Lord to give him life. And he says all this is going to happen through his word. Look there at the end of verse 25. As the psalmist is pointing out this far, God's word sustains us. It gives us what we need to press forward in life. If you remember, we talked about this many times. That God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in his children, uses the word of God to mold, to change our lives, to make us more, to look more like Christ, to be more like Christ. God's word is truth. It gives us hope to live life. It gives us peace and joy and victory and purpose. He also knows that the Lord hears. Listen. He knows that the Lord hears. He will answer his request. Look what he says there in verse 26. When I told you my name, just put yourself in his own shoes. Think back to the time ago. When I told you my way. In other words, when I told you about my life and what was going on, you answered me. When I poured out my heart to you about all that I was facing and how hard it was, and that I was at the end of my walk, you heard me and answered me. See, that's the God of the Bible. That's the one true God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. That's how He responds to His children. He cares that much for you. That's who God is. That's His true heart. Anybody that says that God's not loving, God doesn't know God. Doesn't understand who He is. He didn't ask the Lord, he says, teach me yourself. That just means God's specific rules for life or prescribed rules. In other words, he's saying, teach me your terms, Lord, that I may live by them and walk under your hand of blessing. Remember, you started out the song, those who obey God first, the ones that receive God's blessing. He's teaching his statutes. He wants to understand how to better follow the Lord. give him strength and help him make sense of the situation he was in. He couldn't see. He's in the midst of this. He just can't see. But God's word would help him see things from a proper perspective. He goes on to say there in verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts. Meaning, help me understand the way of your instructions. See, the psalmist knows that he lacks some understanding about God's word. And therefore, he knows that something is missing. I'm missing something here. And so he wants to better understand God's ways and how to know how to live his life, not according to the ways of the flesh or the ways of the world, but according to God's ways. God's ways. Help me understand your ways. You see, the more we know about God's word, the better we understand the ups and downs of our life. The more wisdom we have to deal with any given situation, the greater perspective we have to see things in the right manner. This again is tied to meditation on God's word, as we see here. We've said it before. As God continues to give him greater understanding of his word, he's committed to meditate on what he learns from God. And this will remind you of not the lies, not the false philosophies of the world. Truth. Truth in his word. Truth that will set him free from the bondage and circumstances and the effects of the sinful world that he's in. A truth about God's faithfulness to his people. Truth about God's love and care for his people. A truth about God's future plans and promises for our lives. So as he meditates on God's truth, it's going to give him confidence to move forward, strength from God to persevere, maybe even grow in the things that he's facing or enduring. How often do we cry out to the Lord in times of need? How often do we acknowledge the real issue that's going on in our life? The truth about your reality, sharing every detail of it, even your sorrow, your pain. How often do we ask him to teach us his word and help us understand his word? How often do we meditate on his word? Meaning that in the midst of these times, we shift our focus from the trial or how we're feeling to God's truth. And we begin to meditate on that truth. And we allow his truth to renew our minds and to revive our hearts. To give us a new biblical, eternal perspective on what you're going through. How often do we do that? Because there is relief for your soul. There is relief for your pain. This is so important if we're going to walk in the abundant life that God has promised us. It's so important if we're going to be a witness in the midst of hardship that we go through, revealing the power of God, the power that the world does not. How can you have that peace? Why are you joyful in this situation? Why are you returning kindness and love to evil intentions? This is so important. Again, the psalmist reveals how his response here is based on him treasuring the word of God. He knows how important this is. He knows all the answers he needs and all the directions he needs is found in the word of God. So next we learn that we need to humbly ask the Lord to help us pursue holiness. Look at verses 28 and 29. My soul now is away for song. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. So again, the psalmist tells God about his life. My soul melts away for sorrow. And so sharing about his life again signifies just how bad the situation is. I mean, he's filled with sorrow and grief, and there's depression, there's great discouragement in his words. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says about the deep sorrow of the soul. Listen to what he says. He says this: heaviness of the heart is a killing thing, and when it abounds, it threatens to turn life into a long death, in which a man seems to drop away in perpetual drift of grief. See, little by little, the psalmist is growing weary in soul. He's failing on all fronts, and yet the Lord has given him medicine for his soul, for the sorrow. set his mind by God's powerful living word. Let me tell you, Jesus knows what it's like to experience that type of soul relief in the garden. It is by God's truth that we are set free, as Jesus said in John 8:32. Our sinful flesh wants to bring us down. Satan wants to take us captive by his lies and deceptive philosophy, and the world wants to lead us astray. But it is God's truth that sets us free from all of that. It sets us on a path of victory, a path where we become overcomers, overcoming the sorrow, the grief, the pain, the trials. Overcome. The psalmist would overcome his circumstances by the power of God's word. As we see in verse 29, the psalmist asks the Lord for help with temptations to face. Maybe temptations from his old way of life. Maybe it still held on to him in some way. Or maybe it was things from the world. Temptations to give up in the midst of this. He knew that God's power, without God's power, without his direction, then he may fall in these things and bring ruin in his life. So he said, put false ways far from me. Put false ways far from me. Get it away from me. He wants all the things that are pointless in his life, all the ways of his former life, all the ways of living like the world, all the lies to be taken far from him. He doesn't even want to look. We should be praying daily for this. Think about it. We are surrounded by the false ways of this world, inundated with false philosophies for living life. The world's ways are illuminated before us, and they're constantly begging for our attention. Constantly. If it weren't for God's help, there would be no help for us at all. No hope. We would quickly fall prey to all of this as we did before our lives. The psalmist reminds us of our pursuit of holiness here. That holiness should be our goal. A pursuit in our lives, something we aim for. We're never going to be perfect, but a standard set by God, not someone else, not the world. A standard set by God in his word that reminds us that we need his help every single day. We see this in passages like 1 Peter 1:14 and 16, where we're commanded to pursue holiness, to live a life of holiness. It is only through God's permission that we grow in holiness throughout our lives. It's why he asked the Lord this time, look there, and said, graciously teach me your word. Graciously. And he knows the character of God, that he is gracious for us, that he needs God's grace. He needs God's patience with him as he pursues this holiness, as he strives to be faithful to the Lord in that holiness. He knows that God's word will light the path that he must walk upon. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. God is our Father, is so gracious. He's so kind toward us. He knows the struggles we face. He knows how hard it is to change the nature of our and therefore he graciously teaches us. He graciously instructs us about his life-giving, through his life-giving word. His word that sets us free. God is so patient with our ups and downs, our struggle to live a holy life. He works and does whatever necessary to help us grow because he cares about us. He loves us. In the midst of hard times, are you willing to humble yourself and ask God to strengthen me according to his word? Do you realize, as a psalmist, that what we need is found with God in his word? Do you realize that? Is it your desire to have take away from you all those things from the world that plague your life, that tarnish your holiness. Is that your desire? Is holiness not even a pursuit? We must ask the Lord's help in order to grow in this area of holiness. Next and lastly, we learn that we should humbly ask the Lord to help you stay faithful. Ask the Lord to help you stay faithful. Look at verse 30 and 30. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set the rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Now the psalmist makes four declarations here in the last three verses. The psalmist knows if God is going to do this, his work in his life, he needs to be a vessel that is humble and committed and faithful to the Lord and his word. And so he starts off with, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. That there's great resolve here in his heart. He's made a decision deep within his will to forsake the false ways he once walked in, the ways of this world, and be fully committed to walking in God's ways, fully committed to being faithful to God's word. Letting God have full reign over his life. That doesn't mean he won't make mistakes, but he's giving himself to be committed to the Lord, giving himself that control. The psalmist has the right perspective about how all this works. And if you're wondering, how does this work? He understands that he must rely on God's power. He must rely on God's sufficiency and his grace in order to grow and walk in a manner that's worthy of the Lord. Because we can't make ourselves better. We can't become more holy in our own strength. It's impossible. But listen to what else he says. But he also understands that it is his responsibility to wholeheartedly seek after the Lord, to be faithful in his relationship with the Lord, to be faithful to treasure God's word, obey his word, die to self, surrender control of his life to the Holy Spirit. This is the case for all of us who follow Christ. You see, God is willing and he is faithful to us. But are we committed to being faithful to him? The Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, he just said in Matthew. The Spirit is willing. His next declaration is, I will set your rules before me. In other words, I'm going to set my heart on your word. Your word will always be before my eyes, a saturating my mind. The word of God is like his GPS, and he is committed to being faithful to his word. This means that in all we face, unforeseen circumstances, trials, decisions, our time, our lifestyle, it's all going to be run through the word of God for direction and wisdom. That sounds way for me in this foreign world. It's all going to be run through God's word for direction and wisdom. That means that whatever God says, we're going to trust his way and his will and faithfully follow his instructions. Quite different from our old life and what we see in those who don't follow Christ. Are you willing? Are you willing to make obedience to God's word the foundation for your life? Now, where's that come from? That comes from a real simple story that Jesus told. Those who hear about murder are like a wise man who built his house on the rock and the storms came and his house was strong. And those who listen to my word and don't obey is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The storms came and the house fell. After Jesus shared that wonderful sermon on the mount, the last little story there was that. He was looking for, he desires obedience to his word. That's the whole point of the story. Are we willing to make obedience to God's word the foundation for our life? His next declaration is, I will cling to your testimony, which follows closely with the last declaration because he truly treasures God's word. And so he wants to see how, we see how he responds in this dire situation. Remember the statement in the beginning, my soul clings to dust. Now he makes a commitment to cling to God's word. See, in the midst of unbelievable sorrow and pain, that tempts the best of us to lose our grip on things, he chooses to hold tightly to the Lord and his word. He's determined to never let go. Because God and his word are the anchor that keeps his life from falling apart. The anger that keeps him from experiencing unnecessary chaos in his life, his marriage, his family. The anger that keeps him from experiencing total ruin. It's God and his word. And see, here's the wonderful thing about God. He will never, ever let you down. He will never, ever let you down. What do we learn about him? He says, in this passage, he will give us life. He will empower, he will strengthen you in your pursuit of holiness. He will graciously teach you. He will not let you be put to shame. The world will always let you down. And people will let you down time and time again. But God will never let us down. As we cling to him and his word, he is faithful to fulfill his promises in our lives. He will never leave us nor forsake us, his word says. I promise to you. Even though we sometimes stray away from him, and we forsake him at times, and we're not faithful, and we get distant from him, he is faithful, always faithful in his love and care for us. He will finish what he started in our lives, as he says in Philippians 1:6. Lastly, he declares, I will learn the way of the commandments. Here again, we see his passion for God's word. He treasures the word of God. And therefore, he's not willing to just casually look at God's word or seek God's word. He just doesn't look at it from time to time or even just read it. He's not willing to just read it. You're like, oh, he's not willing to just read it. He's saying, I don't want to have to learn. He's going to seek the word of God. He's going to diligently study. He's going to meditate on his word. Because he finds great joy in seeking after the Lord. His word, he knows that his word is, if he walks in obedience to God's word, then God will shower him with his blessing, his strength, his courage, his peace, his joy. Oh, well, listen. He knows that it's true for his life. The psalmist has great understanding of how the Lord works. His trust is fully in the Lord. You see that? It's there. His last statement in verse 33. He says, when you enlarge my heart. See, he knows that his ability to make these declarations is dependent on the Lord. And knowing God is faithful, he knows that he will enlarge his heart. In other words, that means that he's going to broaden his understanding. He's going to change the very nature of his heart. And he's going to make all this possible. He's going to empower him to do this. All these things are going to come to bear because God has given him a new desires of his heart, and in the sufficiency of his grace will help him follow through. Where is your heart at the moment? What is the true motive of your heart? I want that just to sink in this minute. Maybe ask the Lord, Lord, what is the true motive of my heart? Are you eager to seek after the word of God? Or do you treat this word with a casual glance of time to time? Let's follow the example of the psalmist. Let's first humble ourselves before God in his word. Let's acknowledge what's really going on in our life, and let's ask him to help us, to revive our soul. Let's ask him to help us pursue holiness. Let's ask him to help us stay faithful to him in his word. Ask the Lord to give you a greater love for him, a greater passion for his word. The Lord is near. He's willing. He hears us, and he wants to answer us. Cry out to the Lord. Be honest with him about your sorrow. Swallow your pride. Be honest about your struggles and your pain. Humbly, ask him for help. He's faithful. He's your perfect heavenly Father. Unlike every other father on this planet, he is a perfect Father, and he's waiting for you to cry out to him. And he wants to shower on you his love and care for you. It reminds me of a wonderful hymn. Many of you will recognize this. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. A song that was written by a son for his mother to comfort her soul in a time of sorrow and trouble. And so as the worship team comes, I want you to listen to the words of this first verse as we hear the same song. Listen to these words. You know, some of you know.